What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by Moore Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. I'm Mark Moore, here with my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And also today we have our Hayesville Assistance Office Manager, Mandy Sosby.
Hello.
In the last couple of shows, we've been talking about your home. And today we're going to continue the conversation about making sure your home is insured adequately. Today, we're going to talk about a different type of occupancies of a house. You could have a primary house. You could have a rental house. You could have a secondary house, seasonal house, a vacant house. And I can tell you, we do a lot of those, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about your primary residence. That's what we do a lot of, I guess, insurance with, somebody that actually lives in the house. How many, I guess, in the course of a year, we're dealing with this quite a bit, aren't we? And so when we have somebody call the office, what percent of people do you think live in a primary house versus maybe a secondary house? Any idea?
I would say 50% in the Hayesville location. We have a lot of secondary homes.
And they're from?
Florida.
Atlanta.
Or Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we have a lot of those. We can insure, you know, somebody that is here seasonally or somebody that has a second home. And that's one, a big part of our clientele is people moving up. How often do we see somebody that they come up here and then they decide that I'm going to move here full time? What's the
it's happening more than we know.
So we're seeing a lot of people moving here to the
yes.
Yeah. So typically, what we'll do is we'll write somebody a secondary house or, I guess, a seasonal house, and then after a period of time, could be a couple years or just when everything get it, I guess, closed out in Florida or Atlanta, people are, as I talked about last time, are moving to our area, and it's a great deal of people. I said last time I married my wife's from Florida. And anyway, so as far as writing insurance on a seasonal house, what kind of things do we have to do? What kind of questions do we have to ask? What does the insurance companies normally require?
They want to know how many days that they're actually living in the house.
Okay. And so what about sometimes not all companies will want to insure a secondary house, will they, or a seasonal house?
Unfortunately, no. Unless you have your primary location with them, they will not.
Yeah. So sometimes we'll have a house insured, let's say, in, here locally, and we're kind of limited about how many companies are wanting to actually write a secondary house. And I guess the reason why is not all companies are comfortable with somebody that's not there all the time. Well, what do you think is one of the biggest claims that we have on a secondary house?
Water pipes.
Yes. That's the big ticket one. So a lot of times people will go home, they'll close their house up, come back in 6 months, and they come back home and or back up here, and guess what they find?
They find that their water pipes have burst.
Yes.
And there's damage.
Yes. That's a freezing claim. And so we've had several of those. One that stands out to me years ago, I got a call. He was actually an airline pilot. And he came back home up to his house, and guess what? There's water in the basement. And he calls me up, and I was like, oh, great, what happened? And he's like, well, when I left the temperature on, I think he told me 45 degrees or 50 degrees. Mm-hmm. And that's just not going to be enough.
It's so, not adequate.
So this is a good time of year to talk about this because, you know, we're getting ready to get into colder weather and freezing temperatures. Every time we had this, we'll go down to, and I think the temperatures that are really bad, when you get down like, you know, below 10 degrees, when we have a couple of consecutive days of very, very cold weather, we end up having the thaw out. And then when it thaws out, we're just sitting there waiting to get that call. We've had so many people that have, you know, had the pipes to freeze and burst. That has happened quite a bit, when you say, as far as claims go.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, so, for me, an unusual claim that we had when I was at a different place actually was they had a frozen water pipe, and then they tried to unthaw it by using a hairdryer. I would not advise that because then they caused a fire. So, let's call the appropriate people to take care of that.
Did it burn the whole house down or just have a...
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of damage, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's something you got to be careful about. So what we advise, you know, if you're going to leave, which people are going to leave, you know, I think, you know, the best thing you can do is winterize your house. If you can get somebody to drain the pipes out when you go, have it winterized, that's going to be your best bet. A lot of people are not sure if there's coverage for a falling water pipe, but there is. When you have a, you know, most policies are going to cover, you know, an interior pipe rupturing. That's one of our more common claims.
Well, it's a spontaneous bust, correct?
Correct, yes. We've had situations where, and I've learned over the years, go ahead and just turn in the claim and see what the insurance company says. But, you know, if you've got some sort of drip that's going on behind a wall for a period of time and you don't really know about it, you know, if it doesn't really manifest itself, it's just kind of a really slow thing, or there's moisture back there, and then at some point they tear it out and you got dry rot or something that's, you know, hidden back in the wall, sometimes that may not be a covered loss. So the ones that happen that are sudden, accidental, you know, a washing machine's a big one where you've got, you know, somebody's, you know, washing machine backs up and it goes out on the floor. So water damage is a big part of our, you know, I guess when we talk about having claims, that's a big one.
What temperature would you advise that they leave the house
at? You know, I've seen this. One company said 55 degrees. I think that's too low. I mean, I think you need to be more 65 degrees, because I don't think you need to take off. And, you know, their problem is, what happens when you get a power outage? You know, that's happened quite a bit. I'll tell you about a claim we just had. I mentioned before my cousins in Atlanta and Decatur, and they had a total fire loss. And so what happened was that they had, it's a rental house, and there was a lady that rented the house, and her son decided to come in and cook shrimp. I don't know what you do to cook shrimp. Do you guys cook shrimp? No? Yes?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, I guess there was some sort of like, it was grease or something. I don't know.
They were frying them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so they got shrimp. They're sitting there. They're cooking their shrimp. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? Power goes out.
Okay.
So the son decided, well, it's dark, I don't know what I'm doing. He just leaves. And he forgets that the oven,
the eye was
still on. So when the power came back on, guess what? The shrimp started cooking again, along with the whole house. So it actually, the whole house was destroyed in this fire. So power going on and off can be a real problem. I mean, you've got frozen water pipes. I had a claim about a year and a half ago, and I want to talk to you guys about getting coverage for what's called equipment breakdown coverage. And this particular claim here happened where it was a power surge. How's our time looking, Kathy? Okay, good. So what happened was the power surged into a house, and I was sitting there. We were eating at Mary Southern Grill on a Friday, and I get this text. And it basically says, Mark, we've had a power surge, and it has burned out our garage door opener, our refrigerator, our washer, our dryer. I mean, everything electrical in that house was just shot. It may even got the well pump. So with that being said, you've got to have a specific type of coverage for that. Not all companies are going to cover that claim. And, you know, I can tell you, Mandy and Kathy will tell you, when you get that call, you're worried about something may not be covered. And I was worried about that one. You know, thank God it worked out good, but they had the coverage, and they did receive payment for all the electrical appliances in their house that were burned out by.
I think that's something to do with actually the electric, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a power surge.
Power surge from the, it wasn't something that they did, it's something that
The way the insurance policy reads is it's an artificially generated electric current.
That's what it was.
And that is going to be an exclusion on
an HO3.
Yes, on your policies. So coming back from the break, we're going to talk some more about this. And here again, I'm Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy Moore. We're independent insurance agents with our office manager, Mandy Sosby, in the Hazel office. We're on 95.1 Talk of the Mountains, WJRB.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Okay, welcome back to Peace of Mind. I'm Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy, and we're here talking about occupancies of different types of houses that you may have. What, who is in the house? How are you using the house? I'm also here with Mandy Sosby, who is our office manager in our Hazel office, and we are constantly writing a lot of these types of policies. We just got finished talking about, you know, particularly a secondary or seasonal home, the challenges you may face because you're not there all the time. Some people are actually, you know, they know their house is second, they know it's seasonal, they're starting to rent the house. So talk about, Mandy, about, you know, when you get that call or you are trying to, I guess, to deal with a customer about how they're using the house, what kind of things can we look at, or what do we need to let the insurance company know?
You want to make sure, especially if it's being rented on VRBO or like Airbnb, that we're adding the home sharing endorsement to it. That way we can justify the exposure. So it's a simple endorsement to add to the policy, and depending on the company, it can be endorsed for up to 180 days or sometimes longer.
Well, Kathy just had one.
Yes.
And so we met some friends, and they're like, hey, we're losing our insurance policy. The company we're with now is saying they don't want us anymore. So we're getting a non-renewal. So basically, she was having to go out there and try to find another insurance company that would insure this house.
Correct.
And it's not necessarily easy sometimes, is it?
No, it's not. It depends on how, of course, it is owned. And if it's in an actual LLC trust or it's your individual name, they basically, because they rented in more than 180 days, a lot of carriers do not want that. But they are. We have quite a few that will actually write that policy. It's not usually a standard market. It can be an actually a brokered.
Yeah, we are actually insurance agents and brokers too. We're actually a broker. So I've talked about before that, you know, we, being an independent agent, represent the actual customer to the insurance company. We don't actually work directly for the insurance company. We also maintain broker license where I can go out into the brokerage market and find different coverages or different options for people. We had a, I guess this one house we had was a Lloyd's of London, correct?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so sometimes you end up going all the way to London to get coverage.
Was it an LLC or was it an individual?
That one was actually an LLC, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So sometimes you put up the name LLC, you know, it's already hard to get coverage sometimes when you're looking at a second or seasonal home, and then you throw in the word LLC, that kind of limits things a little bit more sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
For some reason, the insurance companies don't have... They've got different appetites for different things, and some companies don't want to write LLC.
Yeah, they don't like the exposure sometimes about that.
So the big thing is you call your agent, make sure your agent knows how the house is being used. You don't want to have it insured with the wrong type of policy, because you want to make sure if it's an LLC, let your agent know. If the home is in a trust, let your agent know. Life estate, any type of thing that you do, changing the occupancy of the house or how the house is owned, you need to make sure that your agent knows so he can address that with the insurance
company. And plus, if it's vacant and it's for sale, that's also very important. It's really important for us as an agent because we don't want to get a call from an inspector. Hey, we have a for sale sign out here. We came to inspect the house.
And we're canceling it.
And we're canceling the policy because you didn't tell us this. And so sometimes we don't know what you're doing. So it's very important to contact us and let us know what you're doing. Maybe at the beginning of the year, you're just your regular home, and maybe you just something's changed and you decide to go ahead and do something different. You still need to notify us so we can also notify the carrier because we don't want to have an issue with the claim or something were to happen, and then we are having a problem if there's possibly the coverage and exposure changes, you can lose coverage if it's a vacant.
Yeah. I think a common misconception, too, a lot of people will get upset about the vacancy surcharge, and I think the common misconception is they think that the premium should be less because they think it's less of an exposure, when indeed it's more of an exposure for us than it is less. So that's a big thing to keep in mind.
Well,
so,
some of these premiums are not cheap.
No,
absolutely
not. I mean, it's just such a, I had one just this year where I had a cousin that was in Metro Atlanta, and she was actually building the house, and I thought she was going to live there with her husband. But as it turned out, they decided, no, we're not living here. We're going to actually just sell this property. And it was a very, it was like up in the millions of dollars home. So her builder's risk policy wrote her, lasted for a year, and then they got the CO. And this is kind of getting off into another topic on another day about, you know, builder's risk. But what I'm going back to was, once the house was completed, it was a vacant and for sale policy that we had to be written. So I'd go out to a brokerage market, and we found a company that would write it. But it's just not a good thing, because, you know, typical homeowner's policy, well, I guess an 803 policy, which is a standard for a homeowner's, there's going to be some wording in there that's going to take away coverage after a period of time. And I believe it's 60 days.
90 days.
Is it 90 days now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 90 days. So you end up losing coverage for water damage and also vandalism. And that can be a real big one at the time of loss.
Malicious mischief.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, vandalism, malicious mischief, yes. So don't be afraid to call your agent.
Absolutely.
If you have... You know, you may have to pay some money. It's just unfortunate. But you'd rather pay the premium and be covered than to have a situation where you've got water running through your house, or somebody's vandalized the house, and you're sitting there with no coverage. Because
in the grand scheme of things, $500 as opposed to $50,000
is. Well, we've got a, and I know I don't want to discount the fact that these are more expensive policies with a vacant house, but there's a adage in insurance that you don't want to risk a lot for a little. So, like Manny just said, if you have to pay an extra $500, but you might be out $50, that's a really, you know, you're risking a lot for a little. So, what about the, you know, we talk about the VRBO. I just used that for the first time. This, Kathy and I are going on a trip. So, I went online and I went to the website, and you pay the money to go stay somewhere. Vacation rental by owner. That's got to be addressed on the insurance if you're actually renting your home. So many of you, I guess you've dealt with some of the companies, or that's come up more than it used to, correct?
Sure. Now, I know with one of our main carriers, it depends on if it's VRBO and Airbnb as opposed to, hey, I'm just renting it. If I'm just renting it, say, I tell Mark and Kathy, hey, do you want to rent my house for 3 days? Then there's automatic coverage there. But if it is the online stuff that you're doing, we want to make sure that we are adding that home share endorsement.
Yeah, so there's actually a coverage that you buy that gives you coverage for liability in this situation.
Yes, so, and they'll ask the exposure, meaning how many days a year you're doing it.
So is it rated on how many days, I guess, is the way it works?
Yes.
So the less you're doing it, the lower the premium.
Sure, but it's not that substantial. I know that I did one for about 90 days, and it might have added like $112 to the premium. Yeah. Now, factors, you know, vary, but it's not a huge increase.
The one you wrote in... Kathy, you had one recently we just talked about. They had a pool.
Yes,
and
they
so
did.
How did that work out?
Well, a lot of carriers didn't want that unless it was fenced. A lot of the other underwriting questions was, how did they mark the pool? Like the pool, what depths the pool was. And most people don't put, you know, numbers on their pool. So that was an issue. So we had to go through some different things about how they, you know, what they did with the pool, what the fencing and the depths of the pool, and the most important thing, a lot of them would do it, but they would not give liability. With the pool, I wouldn't ride a house without any type of liability. That's a huge problem if there was exposure.
Yeah,
so, especially with people coming into your home that you don't know, the liability is very important to make sure that they have that.
And not everybody would do it, would they?
No, they wanted to ride it without it, and that's not something that I would do. So that's why we had to go a different way.
Well, to recap here again, we're Mark and Kathy Moore. We're here with Mandy Soseby talking about the kinds of occupancies of your house. And we talked about, you know, is your house rented? Is your house a primary house? Who owns the house? And the main thing is just to keep in mind to let your agent know what you're doing with your house.
Absolutely.
I think I mentioned this last time, I believe, in the show, but we were going through our renewals, and we found this guy that was 95 years old. And we looked at the house, and we're like, wow, this guy's really doing pretty well. He's 95 years old, got homeowner's policy. He's living large, you know, 95. And we call up, and we get his son. Dad's been dead for 15 years. So tell your agent. That's one of the big things. Okay, so next week's show, we will be back. And I want to thank Mandy Sozier for coming here and helping us today, and my wife Kathy. And we will be back next week on Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.